أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Let me just check if anyone's on here.
So
we have Radia and Habiba.
Do you want me to sit there to keep an eye on it?
You can. I don't know. Rabia and Habiba, are you able to unmute yourself to speak if you need to?
Assalamualaikum.
Yes.
It looks like it's being recorded, but we can't see or hear anything.
Right, because the video is muted and so is the audio. Right, now I'm actually sitting in front of the computer. So you're able to unmute yourself, Habiba, because you just did. Are you able to unmute yourself, Radia? Let me unmute her.
Just so you know, we can hear and see.
Yes, I'm trying to unmute Radia, though. Are you there, Radia? Because you're muted. I think Radia may not be there right now.
I'm here. Hello.
You're unmuted yourself. Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure you could both unmute yourselves because Rahima has left, and so there won't be anybody sitting watching the screen. So if you want to speak, just unmute yourself and interrupt me. Just speak. So I'll hear you because I won't be able to see that you're wanting to speak. Does that make sense? Yeah, because I'll be out the front and there's no one looking at the screen. So just if you need to say something, speak up and do it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, beloved. So I just wanted to finish Al-Aleem. That was the other piece of this. And then I think we'll just end maybe with a quick Al-Weird. We'll do maybe 33 of the... each and close, so that we'll close a little bit early probably, but it feels like everybody's full and but I'd like to complete the third of these divine names. So the third name is Al-Aleem, the all-knowing, the omniscient. Symbolizes God's omniscience and absolute knowledge, both of the visible and the invisible. So it encompasses both Ash-Shahid and Al-Khabir. And the two realms of outer and inner knowledge are both included and transcended in the forms of the root. The root is actually Ayn Lam Mim. And the word for knowledge, the noun for knowledge, is ilm. So many of the variations of this root, and we have a lot of them here, are divine names that express God's omniscience in one way or another. So as I said, ilm is the noun, that's the word for knowledge. There's a verb, the root verb is alima, which means to know, to be taught, to recognize, to notice, to perceive, to experience, and to distinguish. And if we look at some of the different forms of this verb, let me write them up here. There's alim, which has two A's, a long A here. Alim means the only source of knowledge. It also means the knower. Al-am means ever-continuing knowledge. So it's ever-continuing knowledge. Alam is another form, means ever widening knowledge. Knowledge. And then there's Alim. It's the form that we know, the divine name that's found in the list of 99, which is the all-knowing, the omniscient. Now, there are some physical meanings for this word or this root. For example, there's ulama, and this is an unseen source of water. An elam, A-Y-L-A-M, is an underground well. So there's a lot to do with springs and wells and water in this root as well. There's another form, I won't write them all up, but there's another form that's alama, where the middle A is long, it's A-L-A-A-M-A-H. That's a water source that's under a mountain. And then we have other words related to knowledge. For example, a teacher is a mu'alim. Mu'alim is a teacher. Ma'alama is an encyclopedia. And this one's interesting. A malam. A malam are footprints on a path. Footprints on a path that give you a track to follow. And that also means a road that leads to water.
Neat.
Yeah. I know, it's cool, isn't it? We also have the word alam. And we have the word alam. Alam is a world. Let me put these up because you'll recognize some of these. So we know that ayat is a sign or a symbol, but so is alam. That's a sign or symbol. An alam, A-A-L-A-M, is the word for world, and the plural of that is alamin. Rabbil alamin, remember we say this all the time? This is the universe, or collection of all possible worlds. So this is actually significant because, oh, this is world, not word, world. I really messed up. Because if alim is the word for knowledge, and from this root comes signs and symbols, comes the world, and comes the universe and the collection of all possible worlds, what this is really telling us is that everything is within Allah's knowledge. Everything in the universe. Yes? You want to say something?
Yeah, my brain feels a little fried, but I'm trying to I have this question about, like, so all of these words in Arabic, or most of them, maybe not all of them, they were those words before the Quran was revealed. Because Arabic, like, existed as a language, and then the Quran was revealed through the Arabic language, right?
Yes.
So I think I'm trying to understand, like, my brain's getting kind of confused thinking about it, but I'm trying to understand, like, because it's interesting to think about how all the words are related, but then I'm like, but all of these words were all interrelated and shared these meanings before
the
Quran.
Quran
was revealed, which kind of, like, then shows you this mystical, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And let me confuse you even more.
Okay.
We're ready.
So, there are those that say the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad then, but it was in existence as long as creation has been in existence. And there are some who say that the light of creation is the light of the Quran, that they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there, Ibn Arabi, for example, suggests in some of his esoteric writings that beings and entities in existence are actually words.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Isa was referred to as the word of Allah at one point. So you can actually think of all of us as, and everything in creation as, the word of Allah. So, creation came about and the Quran existed before the Arabic language came into being.
Mm-hmm. And so from, like, the human perspective, like our perspective here, that means, like, Arabic has always been a holy language?
Arabic's always been a holy language because before it came from Aramaic, which was a holy language.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's Sanskrit. But what I'm saying is that the language, the Quran existed before it was revealed. It was actually written on the universal tablet, the universal soul from which we're all created. So it existed in our hearts long before Arabic showed up. So this knowledge wasn't new with the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah has been revealing the same knowledge, or parts of it, throughout the whole of eternity.
Right.
And so, as the Arabic language came into being from Aramaic, these ancient languages carried this knowledge within, encoded in their language. And if, I mean, you know, the creation came into being through a word, kun. So sound and language, which is what, the Quran is sound and light, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The words are just the tip of the iceberg that we see here in this physical world. So it's always been there. And you can think of creation in a way as Allah saying words. And this is how it shows up. So I don't know if that helps with what you were trying to say, but I find it fascinating and interesting myself.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's just confusing to think about.
It is.
I think of the way that we're used to thinking about languages developing as, like,
right,
more material or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the material evolution of language of like, oh, humans started using a tool and so they like came up with some name. I don't know, it all seems very like rudimentary.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But the Aramaic languages are very, very ancient. So, and they grew up around the people who lived in the place where the first humanity came into being, too. These are languages from, you know, Mesopotamia, the area around Iraq and Iran and, you know, all of that area is the area where, you know, humanity arose, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So so they have those earliest sacred languages.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was undoubtedly in the consciousness of the people or the unconscious of the people as they were developing their language. Because the Arabic language is very related to the nature of Arabic people, too.
Yeah.
The way they think. I mean, language affects the way you think, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it also reflects the way you think and the
yeah.
way you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fascinating. I'm fascinated with this whole idea that we're just words. Speech.
Yeah, it makes me think of in Australia the Aboriginal like song lines.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that whole tradition of like, I don't know so much about it, but I've read about it and learned.
And all of their creation myth they call the dream time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the idea that like you're singing as you.
You sing the history and you sing things into being.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's very similar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Camera?
Yes.
You said ancient languages, they carry divine wisdom or divine meanings. What did you say?
I said that these particular, the ancient Aramaic languages came about in the places where humans arose in Iraq, in between, you know, in that area of the, between the two rivers. The Tigris and the
Euphrates.
Yeah, the Euphrates. And so those, you know, those languages developed in those places where the earliest human beings came. And so the speech that developed has a particular nature and a particular consciousness because of where it came about. I'm sure it was in the unconscious of the earliest human beings. So when they as the languages developed, it carried that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So as I said, all of these words and the fact that they're from the root of Al-Alim in a way shows us that everything in creation is within Allah's knowledge, which is what omniscient means, but it even shows up in the language. That, you know, the words for sign and symbol, the word for world, the word for universe and all possible worlds, and the word to teach are all from this same root from which came the divine name, the omniscient. And the other thing that I find really interesting is how many of these physical meanings relate to water, finding hidden water, which, you know, just makes you think of the ocean of the love and, you know, Allah created humanity out of water, that we're not 70% water. So so there's a lot of symbology here is what I'm saying, I think. And this helps us understand that things we perceive in the world are signs and therefore a source of knowledge of those things, but also the existence of the one who created the world. Thus the world becomes a symbol of Allah's existence for the knower. So if you recite this divine name 100 times after a prayer, your eye will see things previously unnoticed. This is the opening of the third eye, the mystical eye. And if you develop the habit of repeating this divine name every day, your comprehension as well as your understanding of everything around you will widen.
Camila?
Yes.
Do you have any stories about trying that? Did you ever try it?
No, I haven't actually. You try it and tell me, I'd be interested.
Okay, I will.
The whole of existence is eternally present in Allah's knowledge. Remember, we talked about mumkinat in the first session. We talked about possible existences, possible entities. And we talked about the fact that even though they weren't physically here in creation, they still exist in Allah's knowledge. This is saying the same thing. The whole of existence is eternally present in Allah's knowledge, including possible entities that are not yet existent. Human knowledge is born of the things that exist. And existence itself is born of Allah's infinite knowledge. So we know about things that exist in our world, but Allah's knowledge is infinite, and everything in existence and everything that can possibly exist is born from Allah's infinite knowledge. So human beings who carry the quality al-alim have been granted knowledge without learning anything from anyone. So you can leave now. Just recite al-alim and you don't have to listen anymore. Without studying, without thinking, a knowledge born purely of the clear light out of which we were created. Al-alim unites the mind and the heart, the abstract and intuitive knowledge. So this is saying that people who carry al-alim have been granted Gnostic knowledge, the knowledge that Allah gives you directly, not knowledge from books. And if we look at some of its appearances in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, verse 32, Allah taught Adam all the names and then asked the angels to repeat them. They said, "Exalted are you, no knowledge have we except what you have taught us. Indeed, it is you who is the knowing and the wise. Innaka antal alimul hakim," the knowing and the wise. Al-alim in its various forms is mentioned in the Quran more often than any other divine name. You may not always recognize it because it's not always at the end of an ayat saying, you know, Allah is the knowing and the wise, but it's used as a verb all the time in the Quran. So this divine name shows up more than any other. There are hundreds of appearances of this divine name, Al-Alim. It's often paired with Al-Wasiyah, because Al-Alim is the knower of all things. So it's paired often with Al-Wasiyah and linked repeatedly with Kulu Shay'in, all things. So you'll often see, and Allah knows all things. You often see that with, and Allah is the, also decrees all things. It's often, you see, you know, Allah has power over all things. But you'll also see Allah has knowledge of all things. So it's that shows up a lot too in the Quran. It's the most inclusive way to affirm knowledge of every possible thing. Allah is the knower of all things. And it's also used in a form to express the eternal present. So, for example, in Surah Imran, Surah 3, verse 73, it ends with, "Say," which is a command to the Prophet Muhammad, "Indeed, all bounty is in the hand of Allah, He grants it to whom he wills, and Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing. So it's present tense to express the eternal present. Allah is also the knower of the secret of the heart. In Surat Al-Ankabut, the Surat of the Spider, 29 verse 10, Allah says, أَوَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَلَامَ بِمَا فِي سُدُورِ الْعَالَمِينَ, which translates to, is not Allah the most knowing of what is within the breasts of all the creatures? So this is letting us know that Allah knows the secrets of what are in our hearts. So let's recite Ya Alim 150 times. Maybe this will allow you to see things that you didn't see before, to bring you knowledge. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya Alim, 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 Ya Alim. In Sufism, human beings are seen as the perfect image of the cosmos. Whatever exists in the cosmos exists in us too. to learn to read into nature, into the cosmos, but also into ourselves, to discern the signs and symbols, makes us understand that everything around us is the reflection on a lower level of a reality of a higher order. We realize through this experience that everything that lives is holy. So any questions or comments about Al-Aleem?
So is opening our, like, is being able to recognize, like, the Al-Aleem of being able to see signs and symbols is to also understand what they mean,
mm-hmm.
not just to be like, I know this is a sign, but I have no idea what it means.
Well, the first step is to become observant,
mm-hmm.
because we often walk around, you know, not really observing anything, you know? We're thinking about things. We're walking around where our eyes are open. We're not running into trees and we're not tripping over, but we're not actually really looking at what's happening around us in the world. You know, we don't notice the bird over there in the tree, or we don't see the cat sitting there with its young. You know, we just don't notice those things. I noticed that once when I was out with Sazia. It was like she saw everything and she was really looking at everything and paying attention, whereas I was just sort of wandering around, you know, noticing some things but not really paying attention. So the first thing is to really pay attention, because everything is showing us something. As CD said in Music of the Soul, you know, the mother bird feeding the baby bird, that's a manifestation of Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rahim. So we can be looking, the first thing we can be looking for is signs of the divine names, because that's actually what's happening in the world. The divine names are interwoven and acting in the world in creation, and that's what we see. It looks like a physical world. That's actually what we're seeing. So, you know, it's not so much saying look for a sign of yes, tomorrow you should go do such and such because you saw that. It's more like, this is a sign of Allah, that's a sign of Allah, what divine names are showing up here, what's going on, you know. It's more about the signs of our Creator, not necessarily the signs of guidance, although sometimes it's signs of guidance too, but it's always a sign of Allah. So those are the signs we want to be looking for, because Allah is revealing him or herself to us in every instant. And Allah says in the Quran, at every moment he is about some business. So Allah is creating things all the time. So we want to be looking to see what is Allah doing, what's happening, what qualities are showing up here. And you just begin to look at the world that way.
So like it's for the guidance too.
You can look for the guidance, but I personally think the truest guidance is found by just going and asking Allah, going and learning to go into your heart and align with Allah and ask Allah to give you the guidance. But there's certainly sometimes signs show up in the world. I mean, sometimes warnings show up too. For example, my grandson, when he was younger, got in with some kids at school and started to drink and started to use marijuana, and he started, you know, he would drive under the influence of marijuana, and you know, he would be caught drinking, and he was a juvenile at the time, and he was living with me, and I'd get calls to come pick him up. He'd be arrested, and because it was a juvenile, they'd just keep him at the police station and call me to come get him. Then, you know, after a certain number of times, they put him in a diversion program, and you know, Allah was giving him warnings. And he was becoming blasé because the consequences weren't so great. And so he was ignoring the warnings and upping the ante all the time. And then finally, he turned 18. And within 2 months of turning 18, he went down to the 420 Club in my... He had written off his own car through an accident. And so I'd lent him my husband's truck, and he'd driven at the 420 Club. And somebody had given him 8 tabs of LSD, and he offered to share it with everybody, and nobody at the club wanted any, so he took it all himself. And walked outside and decided to drive home, and he got like 50 feet down the road, plowed the truck into the side of 2 parked cars, and ended up in jail. He spent the next 3 years extricating himself from the legal system. He was on probation. We had to have lawyers. He had to go to court. He spent a night in jail. This went on for 3 years. But nobody was hurt. So if anybody had been hurt, he'd still be in jail. So, you know, because he wasn't listening to the warnings or the signs, Allah gave him greater signs. Now, he is so careful. Now that he's out of all of that, you know, he really learned his lesson this time, but he hadn't learned it when he was getting the gentler signs. So we need to be looking for the signs and warnings in the world as well. You know, because Allah is letting us know, and Allah's protecting us. I mean, it was part of Allah's protection to send him the warnings. So yes, we do need to be observant of what's happening around us, what Allah is making, and what Allah may be showing us in the world and in our own hearts. Because Allah also shows us signs in our hearts. Any last questions, comments, before we maybe do a little round of a dhikr to end? Okay, it's 5:10, so let's just recite Allah's name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah, 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 Allah. Ashukrullah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Ashukrullah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Ashukrullah, alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim غير المغدوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Amen. Beloved Allah, beloved Lord, we thank you for the blessings, the teachings, the beautiful hearts of the beloveds who have come together this week, both in person and through webinar, through technology. We thank you for the ability for us to be able to be together in this way. We thank you that for all that we have received. Ashukr Allah, alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen. So thank you, beloveds. Assalamu alaikum, Habiba Radia. Thank you for joining us.
Mom, thank you so much.
Good night.
With love to all of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Alaikum assalam, Habiba.